Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, August the 20th. It's a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Sandy T., the 12 Traditions, Tanya P., and the readers of the text are Sherry M., Liz A., and Becca A. Today we are reading page 40 in More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph down. It begins with, "Let him tell you about it," through one paragraph ending with, "Exercising my willpower and keeping on guard." The comments will be on this one paragraph only. The share ID for Monday, yesterday, August 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,668. And for this morning's meeting, I didn't write it down, so I'm looking for it. For this morning's meeting, the share ID for this morning's meeting, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,670. That's 21,670. Our newcomer greeter is Hillary B., and our announcements person is Betsy H. Thank you all for your service. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask, we got here Sandy T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for letting me share today. My name is Sandy T. from California, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and have a great day.
Hey, thank you very much, Sandy T. And now I will ask Tanya P. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. And these are the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Tanya P., for reading those traditions for us. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 40 in More About Alcoholism. It's the second paragraph down. Let him tell you about it, and it ends with exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And I will now ask Sherry M. to get us started. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Let him tell you about it. I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism, and I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. I rather appreciated your ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink, but I was confident it could not happen to me after what I had learned. I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows, that I had been usually successful in licking my other personal problems, and that I would therefore be successful where you men failed. I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercise and keeping on guard. Oh boy. Okay, my name's Sherry, and I am a gratefully recovered compulsive eater today. What does that mean for newcomers? It simply means that I don't have a mental obsession or a pull to eat food that's going to destroy my life today, that I feel neutral and that I work these steps on a daily basis in order to seek a connection with God. That's what it means. And it's a daily reprieve. I am not cured. I am Fred. I am the jaywalker. I am a retired fellow. And I am Jim. And I am all of you, probably. So thanks, Mo, for your service. And yeah, welcome to anybody who maybe hasn't identified. And if you're new, stay till the end and let us get your number and call you. So keeping on guard is, someone relayed this, and I think this makes a lot of sense. This would be the same, if I'm on guard for this disease, it's the same as putting the fox in charge of the chicken coop. Let's let him guard them, right? Like, we all know what that's going to do. I have loads and loads of history. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for everyone to see what methods have you used? What ways have you ever tried to like stop compulsively overeating? And then write those down. You know, what are all the different ways in which I've tried to combat this disease on my own, which is my willpower, the ways in which I exert myself. This time will be different. This time will be different. Why don't I hide all the food? You know, I used to live by myself because this disease loves isolation. And I used to hide food from myself in my apartment. And that doesn't work. And then, you know, I would like throw stuff in the garbage to not eat it. And then I'd pull it out because that doesn't work. And, you know, being on guard, the day is going to come when God is going to need me to like go out into the world, right? And so I've also tried to like be on guard while in program, you know, being abstinent, being recovered, working the steps, and then just having a very isolated life of weighing and measuring my food all day and just making sure, you know, like living a certain way and that like, no, I can't go out, I can't socialize, I can't do anything, I'm going to guard this and guard that. And, you know, for me also, that's not what God would have me be. God would have me, it doesn't work to guard it because my willpower will always fail me. There'll always be a day something will happen, right? Like I'll get really sick or, you know, have a medical issue where the food plan no longer works that day. And then what am I going to do? If I do not have a connection with a power greater than myself that will keep me safe and protected under all circumstances, then I am doomed to failure. And this subtle insanity, this is the crux of this disease. This disease resides in my mind. This is where all of my willpower, you know, my brain cannot fix this mental disease. My brain is actually of no use when it comes to this disease, but my brain is very smart in other ways, and I can figure things out, and I can't wait to hear from all of you. Pass, thank you.
Sorry, Sherry. But thank you very much for your share and for getting us started. And let me know, let me remind everybody where we are on page 40 and more about alcoholism. Second paragraph down, let him tell you about it. And it ends with, I felt exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share on this particular paragraph?
Barbara E. from New Jersey.
That's you, Barbara. Who else? Press star 1 to unmute.
Karen KZ in the California.
I got the Karen KZ. Who else was in there?
Hillary B. from California.
Hillary B. from California. Who else would like to share? Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with those
Janice
three.
K.
We got Janice K. I got you, Janice. Okay, we'll go with those four. Barbara E., Karen KZ, Hillary B., and Janice K. Everyone else mute except Barbara E. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. Happy Tuesday to all of you. I love every single page in this big book. It's a textbook for life. If I read it and take it into my heart, it works so much better. I like the sentence, and I'll just reiterate, I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. Well, guys, I have no willpower. When I want to eat, when that devil calls me by the shoulder and says, Barbara, go downstairs, it's the middle of the night, nothing in the world could stop me. This was literally the last house on the block. I gained and given away so many pounds over and over again, and they always came back from vacation with unwanted souvenirs. And I realized as I read this book, because I thought it was all about religion, And but then they inserted the word spirituality. So some of us, including agnostics, which is me, an atheist, which I'm not, because I don't know enough to be an atheist, regard the group itself as a power greater than ourselves. And others choose to accept different interpretations of its power. But most of us accept the concept of some kind of God, something greater than ourselves. Because without this higher power that I simply don't know and I don't need to understand, I know I would be dead by now, because trying to do this program is like holding my breath underwater. Eventually, I'll have to come out for a breath, and then I'll be right back at the refrigerator. And you know, it's August. I always bought Halloween treats in August, even though I know it's nowhere near Halloween. Well, you know what happened. I ate all the Halloween treats by September, and then I bought them again and ate all of them by the time September finished. And I had to keep them buying again and again because I couldn't stop it. This time I'll stop. And then after Halloween, on sale. How could a good girl resist a sale? So I have to say, the picture of this disease for me is progressive, debilitating, and incurable. And compulsive eating has many symptoms in addition to mere fat. It is also an illness that isolates and gradually or rapidly causes increasingly serious problems in one area of my life, health, job, family, or social life. I close the door. Thank you. I close the door. I pull down the shades until Overeaters Anonymous and this big block saved my life. Thank you, Mo. I pass.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Up next is Karen KZ from Missouri and followed by Hillary B. Good morning, Karen. Star one, Karen, to unmute.
Okay, there we go.
There you go.
thank you, Mo. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. And this paragraph is me. I really thought that I was not as advanced, far advanced as all these, as all the rest of the people, right? And that I could control this. And actually, I did that for many years in OA. I actually controlled it. I white knuckled abstinent and was sort of proud that, you know, hey, I have this many days, I have this many whatever, but my life was kind of a wreck. And I had no idea. I really had no idea until I came into vision about what was really possible, what recovery really looked like. It wasn't really just about not eating those foods and not doing it. It wasn't about that. It was about so much more. And each day it deepens for me that not only can I, my willpower, not control my eating, but my willpower cannot control other people. It cannot control what's going on in the world. It cannot control people doing what I don't like. And what I've really learned in this program that's been so critical for me is the character defects, the selfishness, the dishonesty, the self-seeking, and the fear, and to realize how they run my life. And that whenever I get stuck in being upset with anybody or anything because they're not following my script and I'm not comfortable with what they're doing or not doing, by the way, and thinking that anybody or anything, what anybody or anything does has the power to take away my serenity. And the only reason that I get all that is because I have a relationship now with God that's always had one, but it's very different. I actually do turn everything over, and I do invite that power to take me over, to think its thoughts through me, speak its words through me, and act its actions through me. Because when it does it, I get to have a wonderful life. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Up next is Hillary B., followed by Janice K. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Mo. This is Hillary B. from California, gratefully recovered just for today. My favorite sentence here is, I was confident it could not happen to me after what I had learned. And followed by, I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows. And I kept doing that over and over in OA from 1981 to 2020 something recently. So I would work the steps, and I would understand the work. And I thought that meant that I was working the program. I didn't know it was so just intellectual. And I didn't stay in steps 10, 11, and 12. I didn't do step 10s. When stuff came up, I just thought, well, I'm fixed now. I was just like Fred. And I had so much belief in my own recovery that it kept me sick. And I did start getting, I did develop a faith in a higher power that has developed over the decades, which is wonderful. But I wasn't able to apply it to find this recovery that I have today, which is I see my character defects every single day. I see that I need help every single day. I see that I need a 10th step every single day, at least one. I see these character defects in me that are so familiar, like, oh yeah, I'm this way. I kind of knew that, but I was able to stay in denial because I thought I had recovery over and over and over again. And to be so blind, and this is not too strong a word for what I've experienced. For me, I do feel like I've been resurrected, born again, a brand new person. It's not like I'm the same person. I still have the same character defects, but I'm a brand new reborn person because I get to do work that frees me one day at a time from those character defects so that I can be recovered. Like someone said, the food doesn't call to me, but only one day at a time. And sometimes it does call to me, and then I have to take an action, make a call, write, pray, whatever it is, go to a meeting, another meeting, make another call. But mostly, I'm happily abstinent, not white knuckling. Thank you so much for timing. And thank you all for listening.
You're welcome, Hillary. Thank you much. Hillary B. from California. Before I take Janice K., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 40 in More About Alcoholism. The second paragraph down begins with, let him tell you about it. And it ends with, exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And after Janice K., I will take more people who would like to share. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, poor Fred. Poor Fred. This paragraph is just a litany of denial and ego. I went through, and we often hear on the lines that I is for illness and we is for wellness. And that when I am in the disease, I talk about me. So I counted the forms of I. Do you know in 12 lines he's got, I counted 16 forms of I between I, me, my. So poor Fred. I mean, and what a recovery to be willing to let someone else put my story on this page in such detail. The whole paragraph is Fred telling you how he identified out and what a case of the yeah buts. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you say something and someone comes back with yeah but, that means that's the politest form of no there is. It means, I don't agree, but I'm not going to correct you in public, you poor dummy. The litany of excuses begins, it isn't possible for me to drink that way. I'm better than that. I appreciated the ideas of the subtle, but I was confident it couldn't happen to me. I'm better than that. I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you, and I would be successful where you failed. Yeah, but that doesn't apply to me. I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. Wow. This is the kind of ego that we occasionally observe, and I still see pieces of in myself. Sometimes it does come through a little more intact, but not typically this bad. But it just doesn't go away. And I think that's the work of step 6 and 7. Corralling, diminishing, and relinquishing in that relentless daily turning over of will to a power greater than myself. Keeping myself fit to have the intuitive senses open so I can have access to those intuitive thoughts and decisions that are the guideposts of the recovering life. So, wow. Poor Fred, and what a recovery to be that willing to share with us. So thank you for listening, podcast.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Janice K. And let me remind you where we're at. We're on page 40, the second paragraph down. Let him tell you about it, and it ends with exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Press star 1 to unmute.
Luann C.
Luann C.
Patty B. in Maui.
Patty B. Was it Patty? Addie. Addie?
Addie, yeah, V.
A, Luann C. Okay.
Jan C, Arizona.
Jan C, Arizona.
Carol Lee I, New York.
It was Carol Lee, was it?
Yes, I in New York.
In New York, okay.
Alicia R. in Nevada.
Who was that in Nevada? Alicia. Was that Alicia?
Yes.
Yeah. R. in Nevada. All right, we'll stop there. That's a good lineup. Luann C., Addie V., Jan C., Carol Lee I., and Alicia R. I hope I got everybody correct. All right, everybody mute except Luann C. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This paragraph.
Where are you calling from?
Oh, Luann, thank you. Boise, Idaho. Recovered compulsive reader. Thank you. Okay. This paragraph, I just woke up, is the problem. The reason why this paragraph is really speaking to me is it's speaking to me about that this is true even in recovery. You know, it's not just at the time when I'm identifying in, it's like true all the time. And, you know, I am realizing that I'm really just one unexpected diagnosis or one death in the family or one new job or one new emotional upset away from defaulting into that old way of thinking and behaving. And, where it says, you know, I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows. Yeah, because, you know, now I've got a little recovery under my belt. So, hey, you know, I don't quite need to do as much, or, you know, what I'm doing is enough. And, you know, wow, I have to be so aware of that thinking. And at the end where it says, you know, it would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And as has been said before me, you know, my willpower, I look at the other parts of my life and I go, I do have good willpower, and I do. But when it comes to this, it's like my willpower is like holding on to a toothpick to save me in the middle of a tsunami. It's just totally powerless. And so what it's reminding me of today is that I no longer use my willpower to fight the disease or the compulsion. I use my willpower to focus on the work and do the work. And, you know, then my higher power will take care of me. So I'm just grateful for this good reminder. And thanks, everyone, for letting me share. And I hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Luann C. from Idaho. Up next is Addie V., followed by Jan C. Addie V., let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Addie.
Thanks, Mo. This is Addie V. in Maui, Hawaii, gratefully abstinent today and compulsive overeater for sure. My gosh, I remember 5 years ago when I first heard, maybe 4 years ago, when I first heard Vision for You, and I knew you guys had something that I wanted, but I was not ready. I just wasn't ready. And I was this guy. It was like, I can do it. You know, I can be successful where you men had failed. I wasn't that bad. And I had to exhaust all my efforts and let the disease continue to progress until, you know, I really realized that I am that bad. And I am so powerless. Like, I have exhausted every effort that's possible. And just recently realizing what a blessing, you know, what a blessing that my higher power doesn't want me to be out in the world on my own solving all of these problems. You know, what a blessing that I get to be part of this incredible community. I feel so supported. You know, abstinence has totally eluded me. And fortunately, today is day four. And I'm kind of in awe. And I feel so supported. You know, I know if I pick up the phone, there's going to be support there. You know, I know if I journal, my higher power is going to be there. And I know when I pray, all these miracles keep happening. And not miracles of, you know, worldly things, but miracles of a transformed heart. And I'm so grateful for you guys. You have no idea how much you have carried me when I was so obstinate and so full of ego. So that's all I have. Thank you guys.
Well, thank you very much, Eddie V. from Hawaii. Up next is Jan C., followed by Carol Lee I. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Mo, and everybody on Vision. Oh, I have a hard time sharing because I always compare myself and feel like I don't have anything profound to share like other people do. So
Where
I can
are you
only...
calling from, Jan?
Oh, I'm sorry. Arizona.
Thank you.
Yes, and I'm so grateful to be here today. And so for me, all I know is I have a lot of knowledge. I've been in program for over 30 years, and more recently did the steps the big book way, and now I have neutrality about food. And I'm traveling a lot back to my family in Colorado, and I'll be going to do that frequently. So I need to have a plan of action that incorporates everything I've learned, but that I do differently on a daily basis. I am not on vacation, you know, it feels like it, but I don't get to take a vacation from this disease. It wants me dead. And so I found out when I was visiting recently that I wasn't going to as many of these meetings or other Zoom meetings and making as many calls. And I know that I must do those on a daily basis. And so I need to really turn that over to my higher power and surrender and follow the nudges and stay in touch with my recovered friends so that I am not alone or don't think I'm on vacation. So that's my take on this. I just felt I needed to share that this morning, so I put it out there out loud. I do not want to lose my abstinence, and so I've got to do whatever is going to work for me, staying in close touch, knowing my higher powers in charge. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much, JNC from Arizona. Up next is Carol Lee I, followed by Alicia R. Good morning, Carol Lee.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and I'd like to thank everybody. Wonderful shares. I get so much out of program. I've been in program a lot of years, and I'm
where are you calling from, Carol Lee?
I'm calling from New York.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And I love the big book. I read the big book every day, and this paragraph was extremely meaningful. This idea that the person who was writing this particular part, I guess his name was Fred, didn't believe in the subtle insanity, or maybe he did, but he was confident it wouldn't happen to him. And I put myself in that same boat a lot of times. I've been in program a long time. I have a lot of abstinence, but right now I actually am on day four. I do a lot of traveling, which I like. I gave up heavy sugar many years ago, and I'm grateful a day at a time. I've never taken it back. But I have to be very careful with other elements of the disease, including quantities and yellow life foods. I was at the movies when I was out west in July, and I took back an item at the movies that I hadn't had in many years. And it was that, and then it was another little item that was, again, so-so, not like heavy sugar for me. I don't have the heavy sugar items that I think all of you know about. And that's great for me. But I can't fool around with things that are sort of borderline for me, because when I came into the program, I had no doubt that I was a compulsive eater. I was in my middle age. I was middle-aged, and I had tried many, many diets. I'd been to the commercial weight loss programs, lost a ton of weight, but as soon as I got off of the program, I immediately gained it back. OA is the only thing that has worked for me and given me a life beyond my wildest dreams in many, many, many parts of my life. But I still need to work this program, and I'm just very grateful. I love this meeting. I find an enormous amount of recovery and hope and gratitude in a vision for you. And I thank you all for coming and letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Carol Lee I from New York. Before I take Alicia R., I will remind everybody where we are. We're on page 40, more about alcoholism, second paragraph down. Let him tell you about it, and it ends with exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And after Alicia, I can take some more people, about three or four more. Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning. I'm Alicia R. from Nevada, compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. This paragraph to me is the epitome of the disease, right? I wake up every morning with this voice in my head that is my disease. It sounds like me, right? Lies to me in my own voice, and is always trying to get me to choose the opposite of recovery, right? And tells me I can do it on my own. I don't need you. Right, it's the disease of isolation and separation, you know, and that's why, you know, whether it's when we're new or after time in program, we can still identify out, right, and our disease, because that voice, that doesn't go anywhere. I wake up with that voice every day, right? It's not going anywhere. I will live with it for the rest of my life, which means I have to treat it for the rest of my life, right? One day at a time. And I'm here. I have a friend who likes to say, this is my daily medication. I'm here for my daily medication, you know, and that's absolutely my truth. I have to treat this thing every day. I cannot stay abstinent on the spiritual work that I did the day before. It just doesn't work that way. So for me, it's all about taking that contrary action, right? Because I almost never feel like doing the things that we have to do in this program, right? All of the tools, I don't feel like picking up the tools. I don't feel like coming to meetings. I don't feel like calling and picking up the phone when people call me or responding and all of the things that we do. And it's so funny. Again, that's that disease, right? Because the thing is it's, I guess I like to equate it to going to the gym. I never want to go to the gym, but I always feel good after doing it. Only this is a life or death situation, right? Like I never want to do it, even though it's life or death, don't care, right? But I am always so grateful when I do, and it brings me closer to my higher power when I do. I shared recently that it's that shift in perspective that all of these things that I don't want to do, I do want to get closer to a higher power. I do believe that that is the key, right? And so in order to do that, I have to do these things that I don't want to do, right? And everyone is a success, right? Everyone is a little victory. Every time I'm able to say no to my disease and yes to recovery, or no to my disease and yes to getting closer to my higher power, right? With each of these. And so really grateful to be here. And if you're on the line, you know, that's one more victory for Overeaters Anonymous. And we're doing this together. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much. This is Alicia R. from Nevada. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 40. Laura W.
Penny C.
Penny C.
Jane R.
Who was that?
Colleen L.
Who was Jane R. Jane R.
Colleen L.
The last one. I don't know if I can get you all.
Colleen.
I got you, Colleen. Okay, let's stop there.
Thank you.
Okay, I have Laura W., Penny C., Jane R., and Colleen R. I don't know if I get all of you, but let's go. First one up is Laura W. Good morning, Laura.
Thanks, Mo. Sorry, I was unmuting when I interrupted you. I apologize. Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, Fred, good old Fred, you know, he's comparing here the entire paragraph. He's not identifying. He's comparing himself to everybody else. I was confident it could not happen to me. I. And I felt the same way. You know, I grew up in a home where my loving parents said, you can achieve anything you want to do. You put your mind to it. You can do it. You can be a success at anything. And in some ways, that was so helpful. And in other ways, it made me feel like a failure when I could not tackle this disease. I could not eat when I wanted to eat. I was so underweight. I was so sick. And I couldn't, once I started with my anorexic foods, I couldn't stop. You know, so Fred here was just free. In this paragraph, he's free from the allergy. He's not free from the obsession of the mind. He hasn't had a spiritual awakening that is required to bring about recovery for me. You know, self-sufficiency and arrogance and all that stuff that I had, thinking that I was successful in everything else, so I can be successful in this. And, you know, we're dealing with addiction here. You know, self-will is no match. And addiction will tell me that I don't have a disease. You know, like it's the only disease that tells me you don't have a disease, you can handle it. And I know today that surrender is freedom for me. Like there is a certain freedom that I have every day in waking up and saying, okay, God, direct my day, let it be what it's going to be. Let me remain abstinent, and, you know, that's my job, and then everything else is up to God. God will give me the results, and God can see around the corners. I can't. So I'm really grateful for this reminder because it's so easy in this busy, busy world to get caught up and think, I got this. You know, I've been abstinent for many, many years. I got this. Like, why do I need to do so many meetings? I need to do so many meetings because all I have is a daily reprieve. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Up next is Penny C., followed by Jane R. Good morning, Penny.
Did you call on me?
I did.
Okay, I was unmuting. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mo. I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area, namely Hanson, Massachusetts. Whenever we read this paragraph, and I can't even count how many times I've read it, there's two things that jump out at me. One, that, you know, it couldn't happen to me. I couldn't gain weight again. I was a Weight Watcher. We called ourselves lecturers in those days. And I can remember standing in front of a room of 70, many times 80 people on a Tuesday night and saying, almost every week, I know now what to do, and I will never be fat again. I proclaimed it like it was gospel truth. And, of course, as the administration of that program told us, if you stop working for us, everybody stops working for us, gains weight. And so it happened. My daughter needed allergy shots and, you know, in distance away. And it didn't take long before all the weight and more came back on. And so, you know, I was just so confident in myself. And the other thing that the thing about it's only a matter of exercising my willpower, that's it, and keeping on God. This always reminds me of a dear Catholic nun whom I knew well and would take her out for breakfast often. She was just the nicest, smartest, caring person that anyone could meet. And I remembered going for breakfast, and I would say no thank you to the toast. I don't eat that. And she would say to me, oh, what willpower. And after she said it a few times, I looked back at her, and I said, no, sister, it's God power. And she was pretty impressed with that. And after that, she said, I know, it's God power, and that's just what it is. I thought I could do it on my own. I thought I had willpower. I thought I had found the solution. And the solution that I found before OA was not spiritual at all. It was, you know, don't eat hardly anything, sort of starve for 2 weeks, get weighed in at the Weight Watcher instructor meeting, and then eat anything I wanted for 2 weeks, starve for 2 weeks. So unhealthy and so insane. So when I came to OA and saw the second step, and I'm wrapping up right now, when I saw that second step, that God could restore me to sanity, I knew I had been insane, and I had no problem thinking that I needed to be restored to sanity. So thank you again. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Penny C. from Massachusetts. And I only have time for one more. Jane R. Colleen, please come back tomorrow. Jane R., you're up.
Hi, this is Jane R. from Washington State, compulsive overeater, and glad to be here. I grew up in a home that was not that full of addiction and stressful, and so I learned to be, to be self-confident in myself and having willpower and keeping on guard. So I did all of that, and it worked for me, I thought. You know, for many years, I had religion in my life, and that was my safe place. And as an adult, food kind of took over and became my higher power as comforting me because I started at a young age. And I've learned I'm powerless. My higher power is a feeling of comfort for me, and surrendering and reaching out to my higher power is so beneficial. It's just, like someone said, surrender equals freedom. I liked that. I just recently also had broke a toe, which kept me immobile for like several weeks. And boy, that's a challenge to not eat the wrong thing, right? So my higher power helps a great deal in getting me through difficult situations now. And I am really happy to be here. And thanks for everybody's shares and for everybody's service today.
Thank you very much, Jane R. from Washington, and all those who shared this morning. Well, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Well, Liz A., please read A Vision for You. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. This is Liz A., recovered in California, and this is A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Get freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely need some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, thank